Hello, Yongnak family. Welcome to another day with the Word of God. Today's scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 35 and 36. Let's pray before we read the Word of God. Father, thank you for this day as we gather as one family and listen to your perfect Word. Lord, I pray that reading your Word today will encourage us and guide us to the place you want us to go, to walk in the path and listen to the command that you have prepared for us. So Lord, bless us, O Lord God. Would you open our eyes and open our hearts so that we may see and know all the wonderful things you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams. In the desert, the burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah chapter 36. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road of the launderer's field, Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. The field commander said to him, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have counsel and might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, the splintered reed of a staff which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. But if you say to me, 'We're depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar'? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. How then can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this land without the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it." Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the field commander, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, since we understand it. Don't speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall." But the commander replied, "Was it only to your master and you that my master sent me to say these things, and not to the people sitting on the wall, who, like you, will have to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says, 'The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat fruit from your own vine and fig tree and drink water from your own cistern, until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Do not let Hezekiah mislead you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Have the gods of any nations ever delivered their hands from the hand of king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they rescued Samaria from my hand? Who of all the gods of these countries have been able to save their lands from me? How then can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him what the field commander had said. Amen. This part of the book of Isaiah puts Israel in a very dire situation. And if you look at chapter 35 and chapter 36, well, clearly there are two different tones. There are two different prospects, if you will. There are two different situations. The first one is a song about what it looks like for people who trust in the Lord, what it looks like for people who wait for God's deliverance. In chapter 36, there's a test of what is said on chapter 35. There's this temptation. There's this temptation. The king of Assyria invading the kingdom of Judah and basically saying, tell Hezekiah, do not trust in the Lord. Telling the people of Israel, do not trust in the Lord. The Lord cannot deliver you. Chapter 35 says, if you trust in the Lord, he will deliver you. Chapter 36, there's a temptation saying the Lord cannot deliver you. Here's the thing. Upon looking at chapter 35, what strengthens you to help you move forward in your spiritual journey? What strengthens you? What gives you hope? What keeps you going in your spiritual journey? Because there are moments you want to give up. There are moments that look so dire, so desperate, that you want to turn to the immediate solution, even though it is forbidden by God, even though it is not God glorifying, even though it might be self-centered, self-serving, and selfish. Here's the thing. The application and the opportunity of it comes right after the message. Whenever we hear the message of God, whenever we listen to his promise and listen to his calling, there is an opportunity of application that usually comes through difficult situation, temptations, and desperate moments. And what happens in chapter 36, well, Assyria is trying to invade Judah and basically telling Hezekiah to abandon God and make peace with the king of Assyria. And the Assyrian kingdom over here, Assyrian Empire, was a major superpower during the time of Hezekiah. And looking on paper, there is no reason not to make peace with the king of Assyria. The best way is to surrender. The best way is to say that you're right, I am wrong. God cannot deliver me. But Hezekiah doesn't do that. And overcoming temptation comes after deliverance of God. And guys, there's a promise of deliverance. And the beauty of the gospel message is, despite our sins, despite brokenness, despite corruption of this world, there will be deliverance for the people of God. And although the world will continue to tell you that God cannot deliver, God cannot deliver, God cannot deliver, Man, chapter 35 shows us that God can deliver and God will deliver. My brothers and sisters, there are so many moments of crises that we could find in our lives. When you look at this world right now, when we look at the time that we live in, it almost seems like crises never end. It always seems like something is broken, something is messed up, something seems hopeless. But my prayer is that in those moments, I pray we will turn to Isaiah 35. God will come through. God will deliver. God will repay. And the people of God will continue to trust in his deliverance. So that is my blessing for all of you today as we reflect on the difficult situations that we face. We remember this pandemic. We remember the desperate situations in Afghanistan. We remember those who are living in poverty, those who are living in brokenness, those who lost their family members. My prayer is that we will continue to remember and expect and hope for God's deliverance. And in those moments, instead of listening to the voice of God cannot deliver, we will be able to say confidently, God can and will deliver his people and bring everything into his glory. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll continue to deliver us. God, as we see the desperate situation that King Hezekiah is in chapter 36, Lord, many of us find ourselves in difficult and even hopeless situations. In those moments, Lord God, would you allow us to remember your goodness, remember your power, knowing that our God can and will deliver his people. So Lord, have mercy on us all. And as we continue this Bible journey, Lord, I pray that we'll continue to be transformed into the image you desire us to be in. Continue to love and fear your word. Continue to desire your kingdom over the kingdom of this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.